Proverbs 25, where we left off, as you know, our habit here on Wednesday night is verse by verse. We're in Proverbs 25. This will wind up being much shorter tonight just because we're already nearly at 8 o'clock, but kind of along the lines of what we've been talking about. I'll start with verse 24 as context. We've already talked about this one, both in this chapter and earlier. It is better to dwell the corner of a housetop with than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. But notice verse 25, I quoted that a little while ago, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I'd like for you to think about that for just a minute and contemplate on the idea, okay, we just came through revival and all that kind of thing. But on a day-by-day basis, I mean, the thing about it, folks, is that you think about the news that people get in this life. I mean, if you're a Buddhist, you probably think eventually that you get some sort of wisdom from Buddha thinking. If you're into Zen or some sort of Zoroastrianism or something like that, well, you know, you think that you have some lock on some sort of wisdom nobody else has. If you're a scientist, you are convinced that you get wisdom and knowledge from science that is unavailable anywhere else. However, you Bible-believing people have a unique position. I mean, if you're always looking for stuff that makes Christianity unique. We have a Savior that rose from the dead, defeated sin, death, hell, and the devil, all those sort of things. But think about the fact that you are the only people in this world that get information, wisdom, understanding, news from a far country. And by a far country, I mean from outside this domain. I mean, if you're a scientist or an education freak or, you know, I don't know, you go ahead and name off all the different philosophies and all that sort of stuff. Whatever wisdom you get, some of it's demonic wisdom. Whatever else you can say, it's from here. Okay? We as Bible-believing Christians have wisdom, a source of wisdom that rests outside this solar system, this universe, which makes Christianity truly unique in that we get wisdom, we get knowledge and light from another place far, far away. Furthermore, you have that light dwelling in you. You are the light of the world, but Jesus Christ dwells in you. You have the Creator of the universe indwelling your body. And so it is, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And just take probably an expected moment to admonish. If you have access to that knowledge from a far country, from outside this temporal domain, you have access to that every single day. If you choose to, you have access to that wisdom every moment of your life that you're awake. You should take as much of an opportunity as you possibly can to tap into that as much as possible. For as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. You are unique in that you get information from outside this temporal domain here in a way that nobody else does. If a Zen Buddhist gets some sort of wisdom from a demon, you could say that's probably from outside this mortal domain, but it's wrong, right? It's sin. You're the only ones that get anything of any value whatsoever from beyond. These folks that always are wanting to know, you know, what's the other side of death, and they channel people that have gone on, their channelers and sorcerers and all that stuff. You don't need that. You have a God that defeated sin, death, hell, and the devil, rose from the dead, and talks to you every day that you will. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Notice verse 26. We'll just go on here for a few minutes. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. Now, the thing about that, The man is as a troubled fountain, a corrupt spring. Why is that? Well, Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. And notice verse 11. The reason that's the case is because that righteous man, 10:11, Proverbs 10:11, because the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, okay? Well, that the mouth of that righteous man, somebody that's saved, somebody that has a Bible, knows a Bible, has access to that wisdom from outside the temporal domain, that guy's mouth is supposed to speak of what he knows. His mouth is a well of life. When that righteous man falls down in chapter 25, verse 26, before the wicked, he is then as a trouble fountain. I mean, if I'm a Bible believer, and I love the Bible, and I love Jesus, but I really like Mick Jagger a lot, there's something wrong with me. And how could you really trust what comes out of my mouth? Right? I mean, a man that falls down, verse 26, a righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain in a corrupt spring. Falling down, maybe look at it this way, falling down in a sense of worship. Obviously, if somebody's got worship problems, they fall down before the wicked, idols, false gods, that sort of thing. If you are a Roman Catholic, you've got a major problem. Because you worship a God that says that if you do this magic trick, you can eat my flesh and drink my blood, and that gives you eternal life. Right? That's a falsehood. That's a false God. Okay? If you're a Muslim, I got news for you. Your God is the moon God. It's Allah. And He's just a petty two-bit God. Nothing more really than an idol and a demon. And you've made Him into something He's not. You've elevated Him to a pedestal. And you fall down before a wicked idol. Nothing more than a demon. Okay? You worship at the behest of a prophet that was a pedophile, demon-possessed, a murderer, double-minded, and a whole bunch of other words I could use. A man falling down before somebody like that, a righteous man falling down before somebody like that, is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. If you have the truth, you have no business compromising with Allah. If you have the truth, you have no business compromising with the God and Savior of Catholicism, including Mary. You have no business. You are as a troubled fountain falling down before those things. Now, as far as falling down again, maybe it's not just worship. Maybe it's adoration. Maybe it's the way all those silly girls used to faint dead away when the Beatles came out on stage, or when the other bugs and monkeys and whatever else came out on stage. When Aerosmith came out on stage, everybody just, all the girls just scream and squeal and cry and faint and, throw their earrings and stuff. But we laugh about that kind of thing, but people do that stuff all the time. I mean, I could keep talking about the Packers. It's a cultural thing there. But still, I knew Packer fans that were seriously compromised by their love for Brett Favre back in the day. Of course, now he's verboten because he did the Dracula thing and departed from Green Bay and came here of all places. But, I mean, I knew two or three people through my lifetime. I knew a kid in college. By this, I mean college, not TBI. But college, if you said, this guy was a shot putter, he was about 6'7", about 255 pounds. And if you said something negative about, of all people, John Wayne, you were going to have to fight this guy. Right? I mean, I'm serious. But in a day when you have, and I've honestly, seriously never seen a show, but American Idol, I don't know if it's even still a big deal these days. I know there are various offshoots of it. But they said that a lot of those kids coming through there and trying out on American Idol were coming out of youth groups in evangelical churches, you know, where they have the rock band thing going and all that, the worship teams. So these guys were honing their talents in their youth groups at church and then going on a live stage before America on American Idol. Okay, folks, there's something wrong with me submitting my talents and looking for some famous musical dirtbag to look kindly upon me and recognize my talent and put me on a big stage and give me the prize. There's something wrong with that. And we've come to a day, perhaps as no other day now, where with the abundance of idleness and, of course, the conveniences of communication, TV, iPods, iPads, everything in the world, where you can buy a phone where you can watch TV 24 hours a day on a screen this big and stop and consider the number of adult males that are over 40 years old and weigh over 200 pounds that almost worship at the feet of certain athletes or at the feet of certain movie stars. I have heard Christians defend certain dirtbag movie stars because they appreciate a character they played in some movie. That is for you. Pay the guy enough money and he'll play a queer in another movie. Just like somebody that is now dead, by the way, did. I don't even remember the guy's name now, but whatever. My point is, you know, we've come to a day perhaps of unequaled and unparalleled idolatry in Christianity, where not just do we, I say we loosely, but not just do Christians take Jesus Christ now, not the Christ of the Bible, but the name Jesus Christ, the one that came and died for our sins, yes. They take and ornament him with what attributes they like and leave off of him what attributes they don't like judgment and such things like that. Well, not only do they do that, but they also worship very much at the feet of many media stars. I mean, I remember a day, I mean, I listen to Rush Limbaugh once in a while, but I knew grown Christian men that basically thought Rush Limbaugh was the next thing to Billy Graham as far as the truth was concerned. And not only is that not true, it's never been true. I don't know what it is. We have a proclivity towards idolatry and towards falling down before the wicked. And listen, I suppose if you had a chance on a one-on-one conversation with Rush Limbaugh, maybe you would be intimidated. But I got news for you. You have truth he doesn't know anything whatsoever about. You're the one whose mouth is a well of life if you're saved, if you know the Bible, and you've been trained in the Bible. You're the one whose mouth is the well of life. You're the one that ought to be making a difference in people around you. Doesn't matter that you don't talk to 100 million people every day. Right? It says there in this passage, it says, a righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. One more passage here, Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And notice verse 30. Once again, just the emphasis on if you're saved and right with God and have a Bible and are trained in knowing the Bible, you're the one with treasure. You're the one with water in the well. And you have no more business falling down and worshiping the gods and idols and media stars and movie stars of this world than, I don't even know what other than. I mean, you have no business doing that. And somebody that does, if you feel yourself falling for some lost media star somewhere or some Christian media star somewhere that, you know, has sold himself out for money and fame and an international ministry, I'm sorry, you're as a corrupt fountain. What does it say? As a troubled fountain, a corrupt spring. Look in Psalm 37, 30. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Wisdom and judgment. From that verse, I take it that on a regular basis, what's supposed to come off your tongue in daily conversation has to do with some things of judgment, which I realize nobody out there wants to talk about. But if you're right, part of what comes off your tongue is not just the wisdom of God that makes people feel good about themselves and can help them and deliver them to eternal life and all that kind of thing, but also of judgment. All right, verse Proverbs 25, 26, a righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. It is not good to eat much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. We talked about verse 27 in conjunction with another passage, another verse earlier in the passage. But the idea here is that it's one thing for me to tell my wife that I think she's beautiful. She's even told me that she thinks I'm handsome, at least once in the past. Well, it's one thing for your wife or your husband to tell you that you're beautiful or that you're handsome. But the minute I take, I mean, I'm encouraged by the fact that she thinks I'm handsome. But the minute I take that encouragement to the point where all I can think about is how handsome I am, how smart I am, you know, all those things, like I said, you give somebody a word of encouragement and something, you know, boy, I really enjoyed that song. You're really talented. You have really good pipes. Okay? Well, praise the Lord. Good deal. But the minute you become preoccupied with those pipes, with that talent, with your looks, with your accomplishments, with your achievements, all of a sudden it starts going downhill because it's not good for you to search your own glory. Again, I mean, there's something to self-esteem in the sense that, you know, I'm saved, I'm a child of God, I have my identity in Jesus Christ, I'm going to be a king one day, I'm a priest before God right now. Well, thank God for that, right? But the minute I start searching that as if it's my own glory, like God owes me something, including riches, health, troublelessness, tranquility, and I just, as the Pentecostals believe, just ought to be happy, wealthy, wise, and wealthy. I'm searching my own glory, and it's not good. If you're a big, strong, handsome fella, you should not glory in your strength because he can take it away with one germ. Boy, I tell you, brother, like I said, that thing with Jay dying was a sobering thing. Here's a guy, he stood before you 2 weeks before he died, 3 weeks before he died, at his mother's funeral. You know, 55 years old, but you wouldn't have known he wasn't the picture of health. Gets bitten by a dog. Not torn by a dog, just bitten, just two canine punctures. Within 3 days, he has gangrene. The infection runs entirely through his system. By the time I saw him, 2 weeks later, it was one of the grossest things I've ever seen in my life. You're just not that tough. And your handsomeness can surely go away in a swift moment. And your strength and power and stature and build and all those sort of things can certainly go downhill just like that. By the time I saw him in the hospital, it looked like, not to be gross, it looked like you could reach up and just break his nose off with your two fingers. Just break it off, and it would just come off as charcoal, because that's what it looked like. His arms, legs, and feet, and features on his face, his nose, his ears, looked like charcoal with botches and all sorts. It was terrible. And all that from a germ complicated by diabetes. I mean, you're just not that strong. And you're not that smart. And if you think you've got the answers better come from the book, because you're just not that wise either. Well, wasn't that encouraging? Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed here after we sing. Father, thank you for your love and goodness to us. We appreciate what we got a chance to hear here tonight, and we're glad for what we got to enjoy here this last week. We pray you'll guide us now, Father. Folks are still tired, I know. Hopefully some things that were said tonight will be an encouragement. Certainly happy to hear somebody getting saved, somebody else getting a chance to witness to somebody powerfully. We pray, Father, you'll continue to show us your hand in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing one more before we go here tonight. Let's sing number 77. Number 77.